Bless you.
Well, can you hear me now, Brother James? Is it better than last week? Yeah, I understand y'all. They had to turn the volume up on me last week, and then when Brother Loudermilk got out there, he blasted everybody away. So, not that I have anything to say worth note. If the Lord doesn't bless, it won't be any good. I believe that he hope he will. I want to thank the Union Church for letting Brother James come out to preach for us in Laburnum, Texas. He did real good. Y'all ought to be happy with him. He did a good job. The Lord blessed him. And I felt like the Lord gave us a real good meeting. I'm very happy about it. So I want to turn to the book of 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, reading in the first verse of 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together. And came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You know, they betrayed themselves in that statement. They are saying, Well, you're old, Samuel, your sons aren't walking in the right path. So we would like to have a king. But the real reason was we want to be like everybody else. We want to be like all nations. We shouldn't covet what we shouldn't want. The Lord's people do not need to be like the world. When I mean the Lord's people, I mean us as individuals. Our families and our churches. You know, I drive to Laburnum, about 30 minutes from my house. I go past the church. They got so many people coming there, they got to hire off-duty police officers to direct the traffic. They got thousands of cars at that place. Then I go past another church. I've heard they've got 25,000 members. How come all those people are going over there? And we get maybe 20, 25 at Laburnia. Seems like more people ought to be beating the door down to come and hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. There ought to be thousands coming over to the old Baptist. To hear the truth. The truth is what makes you free. Why are they over there? I was talking to a brother one time. He pastored one of these large churches. He said, It's hard work. He said, We got to change things up every 6 months to keep people's interest. They know, they'll say. I've talked to some of them that believe what we do. They said, you know, if I preached what y'all preached, we wouldn't get anybody. You know, they're right. If you want more members, just be like the world and you'll get them. But you've got to sacrifice what makes us the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the pillar and ground of the truth. Why would we want to change what Christ has built? Why would we want to look like the world? I don't want to look like the world. I want to look like the way the Lord would have us to be. You know, there was an effort in the early 1900s to reform the Primitive Baptists. They had a big meeting there in St. Louis, Missouri. And they tried to do it in Fulton, but some of our wiser brethren, stymied that. So they tried again next year, and they decided the old Baptists need a headquarters. We need a national association. We need one church paper, and we need a council of elders to determine who's going to pastor and what they're going to preach. Y'all want that? You want that? Why would we want to make a headquarters here on earth? We've already got one. It's up yonder in glory. It's up there in heaven. That's where's our headquarters? It's by the right hand of God. It said to the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. He's the candlestick. He's the head of the church. He built the church. You say, well, we want group of men to rule over us. Why would you want folks that are prone to make mistakes when you've got the Son of God as the head of his church, of his bride? Some people say, well, we need something for the young people. Why we do? We've got preaching, praying, and singing. That's what the Lord put in the church. You say we need a seminary to help our preachers preach better. Well, we've got one. It's called hard shelling. It's called sitting down, talking about the scriptures, being taught, being raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord by your fathers in the ministry. I was blessed to have wonderful men that helped me in my early days. They're all gone to be with the Lord. But my dad, and Elder Bill Walden, Elder J.A. Rao, Elder, I'm start crying if I'm just thinking about Brother George Walker, Brother G.H. Crane. Only Brother Clifford Goins is left among them. They all took an interest in my ministry. They call up and say, Dave, come up and spend the weekend. I'd go and just listen to them preach and preach to me. I'd get up there and make a mess of things on Sunday, and then they'd straighten me out. I'd be driving down the road, and I'd be an hour and a half from Elder Bill Walden. Well, that's right on the way. I went right to Brother Bill's house, showed up on his door, said, can I come in? They always let me in. Precious, precious memories. One time, Brother Bill and he was always trying to lose weight and never succeeding, but he was always trying to lose weight. I made one of my detours, got up there and said, Brother Dave, I'm about to go to the track. Come with me. We went down to the track. We walked around that track. I don't know how many times. But it just seemed like minutes because I'd say, Brother Bill, what about this? And he just preached to me that whole time. You can't get better than that. That's how the Lord desired us. Paul said, the things you've learned of me, commend to the faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The day we strive to be like the world, my friends, is the day we stop being the house of God and the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the day we stop feeling that spirit blessing us and to enjoy the beauty of God's house, the beauty of the singing, the preaching, the praying, the fellowship. I think he gave us the best thing on earth. That's what the Bible says. He says it's David said, it's the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Why would you want to have a king? They've been ruled by judges. They've been, as long as they did what the judges said, as long as the judges did what the Lord said, they were fine. There was no reason that they would ought to change the administration that God had put in, except we want to be like all the nations. I read over here. Let me, there's this thought of a scripture there in Hosea chapter 13. Let me get that. Hosea chapter 13, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee and all thy cities and thy judges of whom thou said, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and I took him away in my wrath. That may not be what he's talking about, but I look at it. I kind of put it like this. It was a bad idea to want a king, and that king proved it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Greater is he that is in us, my friend, than he that is in the world. Samuel got this news. It says in back in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6, he says, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. Friends, you reject what the Lord has put in, you've rejected the Lord. You reject the truth, you reject the Lord. I'm glad that the old Baptists do not put any constraints on preaching the whole counsel of God. I rejoice that I can preach or try to preach, pray the Lord will bless me to preach these beautiful doctrines of grace and that we rejoice in it. Y'all know the best sermon on election I've ever heard. It was preached by a man named W.A. Criswell, who was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas. They had 20,000 members. He pastored that church for years, and he was going to retire. And his last sermon he's ever going to preach at this huge church, he gets up there, and he preaches the doctrine of election without apology. Preached it right down the line. Any one of us that hear that sermon say, amen. Wow. I still say this is the greatest sermon on election I've ever heard. He got to crying in that sermon. He said, my brethren, this is what gets more people in heaven than any other thing that we can think of. This is the work of God. How can we resist the work of Almighty God, he said, weeping. And that was the last sermon he ever preached there. You know why? He couldn't get away with it otherwise. I was talking to Elder J.P. Dale one time. I told him about that sermon. He said, yes, sir, Brother Criswell came to the old Baptist. He was pastor in the First Primitive Baptist Church in Dallas. He said, Brother Criswell called him and said, I understand that y'all have feet washing. Can I come and observe that service? And Brother Dale said, come on. They worked out a time, and W.A. Criswell comes in, and he's got somebody with him. He's got one of his members, and that man's name was Billy Graham. Yes, sir. Billy Graham was a member of that church. Criswell was his pastor. And he brings Billy Graham to the First Primitive Baptist Church in Dallas. And they sit in that church and they watch the bread, the wine, and then the brothers and sisters washing each other's feet. Brother Dale said they were both moved and said that was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. But they didn't observe it where they went. They went back. Aren't you? Aren't we thankful that we're not being pushed into doing something that's contrary to the scriptures just to get more members, just to look more normal, just to be more accepted? My favorite line in all the songs that we sing, it's a line that's in one of our books. It's in the good old songs. I liked it so much that I had a sister paint that on a board, and I've got that in my kitchen. You come to my house, I'll show it to you. And it's got this line on it: "Keep us lowly and unknown, prized in love of thee alone." That is a profound statement. If we're going to be noticed, let it be of the Lord. I know we ought to be accommodating. We ought to be friendly when visitors come. Sure. Don't want to drive people away. But we need to be ourselves as was what the Lord would have us do in his service. And maybe the Lord will open their eyes and they'll see the beauty of it and want to be a part of it. Now, Saul proved to be not a very good king. He looked like a king. Said he was head and shoulders above everybody in Israel. Good looking man, tall. He came from a good family. You looked at him and he looked just like a king. The Lord gave them what they wanted. You want a king? I'll give you one that looks every inch a king. But I'm not going to preach very long. I'm just going to kind of wrap this up real quick. But I want to go to 1 Samuel and the 10th chapter. There's a whole lot that goes on in the ninth chapter about getting Samuel, finding Saul. Saul's out there looking for these asses that had gone off and gone astray, and he brought some men with him. They were searching high and low for him. He couldn't even get that right. He spent so much time looking for him that one of his men said, "You know, your father is going to start worrying about us." And Saul said, "You're right, but let's go over here." So they went over here, over there, looking for him. Samuel finds him. He says, "I've told you, your dad's worried about you, but I've sent word. Now come with me." And there's a whole lot that goes on. But I want to get down to where the literal crowning moment when they are going to crown Saul the first king of Israel. They all gather there. All the tribes are represented. Samuel has them according to their tribes. They began to cast lots to show whom the Lord had chosen to be their king. Now I'm going to read in verse 17 of the 10th chapter of 1 Samuel. "And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversaries and your tribulations. Ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourself before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken." Now you just get the scene. They're in this open area and there are thousands of people there ranked by the tribe. They cast a lot and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then we read, when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Saul, this is your moment. Where is he? I mean, can you imagine? They're all like, man, this is going to be great. We're going to get what we want. Look at all, everybody's here. There's Samuel. Man, just what a majestic service. Man, we got the lot cast. It's this guy. And then the ta-da moment, curtains open, and he ain't there. Where is he? Nobody knew where he was. But the Lord knew. It says, therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Man, I wish I knew everything that meant. I think he was there on purpose. He said he has hid himself. Moment of weakness, nervousness, scared, afraid. Let me tell you something, y'all. What do you get in replacement when you take away the things of the Lord? You know what you get? A whole bunch of stuff. That's all you're going to get. That word stuff is mentioned 13 times in the Bible. It means Noah Webster defines it as a mass of matter, a collection of substances. Could refer to furniture, goods, pots and pans, sundry supplies. Just a whole bunch of stuff, whole bunch of things. Now y'all come to my office. I'm in it right now. Y'all need to come to my office. I've got a lot of stuff. Some of it's actually important. I brought Brother James. He wasn't interested in my stuff. I wanted to show it to him. Brother James, look at all these knickknacks. Look at all these plaques. Look at this. No, no, no. He wasn't interested in the stuff. Elder James kindly said, I want a book. I want you to give me a book. Give me a book. I gave him a book. I gave him History of Mississippi. Turned out I had three copies. I said, brother, you're a representative minister from Mississippi, and you don't have that book. He said, well, I gave it away, and you don't have that part. So I don't think that book was stuff. To him, it wasn't stuff. It was important. But, no, but Brother James, look at this vintage clock over here. look at this thimble I got. Why do you got a thimble? Because it's a family heirloom. I've got all sorts of knickknacks, but it's just stuff. It's going to get burned up one of these days. I reckon, my friends, that what the Lord finds valuable, or the things that he loves here on earth, that he will take with him into glory. I'm thinking about us, soul, body, and spirit. I think we'll know the truth up there. We'll know the truth like we've never known it. I think we'll sing up there like we never have before. I think we'll have knowledge up there. We'll know as we're known. We'll have understanding. We'll have all wisdom. And we will have a perfect view of our great Redeemer. The things that are going to carry over into the next world, those are the precious things. What we have in our homes, they may matter to us, but you're going to be just fine without them up in glory. But what matters to us, our brothers and sisters, our families, the gospel, the kingdom, our fellowship. I think we'd all agree that those are the most important things and things that matter. And anything that takes their place ought not to be considered. But above all, our Lord Jesus Christ reigns supreme above them all. If anything comes before him, friends, we just made an idol. Let's get out of the stuff of the world and let's be about the master's business. I'm preaching this to me. Let's be ready. Let's be excited about we've been given the most wonderful thing we can do. That is to preach, to hear preaching, to sing, to hear singing, to fellowship, to hear fellowship, to pray, to hear prayers, to speak to each other in love, speaking the truth. There's no replacement for that. I don't know if any of y'all needed that admonition, but I guarantee you I did. You know, we just had a good meeting. It was a good, consistently good meeting. It started out good and just kept getting better. I saw our church mature, and we've got a lot of young Primitive Baptists at Lavernia. And I saw them just stepping up and enjoying the things pertaining to the kingdom. That made my heart sing. And I appreciate the brethren that came and preached for us. Y'all come next year. Now, we're going to do it next year. We got Brother Tom Griffin and Brother James Isaacs invited. I hope if the only thing that I hope will get in the way of that meeting next year is the resurrection. I'll let the resurrection get in the way. Because you know what that means, my friends? That means we'll have the best meeting of all time. It's still coming. You haven't been to the best meeting yet, friends. It's coming. When you see the Lord face to face, that's going to be the best day of your life. You may have had your worst day, but you haven't had your best day. Your best day is guaranteed to come. Now, let's just keep having second best days in the Lord's house. God bless you. Thank you. I love you all. I'll turn it over to Brother Conway.